Thank you very much, Chairman Van Bramer and Chairman Gentile. Thank you very much for being here this afternoon. Councilmember Dickens, wonderful to see you. And all the other members of the City Council and staff who are here. I've known many of you for your entire careers as elected officials in the Council. I've known many of you for the time at which you've been in leadership positions of the Council. And that goes for the Speaker of the City Council, the great Christine Quinn, as well. And as a person who grew up in the great borough of Queens, it's wonderful to see so many representatives of that borough here as well this afternoon. And I'm joined in my testimony by three members of the executive staff of the New York Public Library, David Offensend, who is our Chief Operating Officer, Sharon Hewitt-Watkins, who is our Vice President for Finance, and Ann Carson, who is our Vice President for Public Service in all of our libraries. I'm also happy that many members of the library staff are here, including the leadership of at least one of the library's local unions. My written testimony is before you, and I will be referring to several sections of that a bit later on in my testimony, but a good deal of this is going to be given extemporaneously. But before I start, I want to say how happy I am to be appearing this afternoon in the company of Linda and Tom, who have been exceptionally fine colleagues. And it's important for the Council to know that the three of us and our respective staffs have been working very, very closely and collaboratively together in the last many weeks in order to find those points of intersection in terms of the things that we do that we can do better together than individually and capture some savings there. And this is the first time that the three library systems in New York ever have approached this kind of cost-saving exercise. And I'm deeply appreciative to both of them and the staffs that they represent for their high level of colleagueship and collaboration in this effort and their friendship during my time in office as well. The chairman said it's my 17th time before the persons on this committee. They've been changing over the years in order to talk about library funding for the New York Public Libraries and the three boroughs that we represent, Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island. And until relatively recently, until the last two fiscal years, in fact, we have been on a great, great upward direction in terms of the amount of funding and the quality of services that that funding has been able to provide for the people of our three boroughs and, in effect, for the people of all five boroughs of New York City. Obviously, there was a dip after 9/11, but we had rebuilt and clawed our way back, to use contemporary language from Wall Street, to 6 days of universal service for all the libraries in New York City. I'd like to begin by framing out some of my comments this afternoon in an historical and to some extent in a philosophical context. If you look at the date of the high water mark in the late 20th century for public libraries in New York City was 1970, when all of our libraries in our system at least were open 65 hours a week. After that, the economy declined. And the libraries in New York entered into a very serious decline that lasted at least 20 years, with a nadir, the low point, being 1975-76, the great fiscal crisis when the city was on the verge of bankruptcy. But then something really important happened in the early 90s and 91-92, when, as a matter of public policy, and I really want to underline the notion of public policy here, because it is you and it is the executive branch of the city that define, as a matter of public policy, including as subsets, educational policy, economic policy, cultural policy, it is you who decide what kinds of libraries you want. We don't decide that. We take the money that you give us in the framework of the limitations that those monies represent and deliver as much as we possibly can and the things that we know that people want for you and for them. But at that point, as a matter of public policy, the city decided that it wanted all of its libraries open 6 days a week, maximum numbers of hours, and in effect reverted back to the deal that they had made, or their predecessor had made with Andrew Carnegie in 1901, when the mandate was 6 days, 12 hours a day, every day except the Christian Sabbath, including the 4th of July, New Year's Day, and so on and so forth. Now, that was a momentous moment, excuse the redundancy, that was a terribly important historic moment in the history of libraries in New York, 92, as part of the Safe Streets Act that was passed then. And the people have voted with their feet once we got libraries open 6 days a week, more and more and more people have been using libraries. There's been a continuous surge in the presence of patrons in our libraries and the presence of people using us online. Last year, you've heard me cite this figure before, but I think it's terribly important that we drive it home again. Last year, there were 40 million physical visits to public libraries in the five boroughs of New York City. That's 1.5 to 2 million more than visits to all the culturals and all the sports teams combined. The sports teams ranging from the Islanders right on Long Island to the Nets and the Giants and the Jets in New Jersey. Now, those 40 million people, those 40 million visitors are New Yorkers. And they're there for very simple, terribly important reasons. They're there to better their lives, to fulfill their aspirations, to become more productive citizens, to learn English, to get a job, and all those other kinds of wonderful things that my colleagues have been talking about. What this budget does is to threaten to take away at least half of that. And not to take us back to even, I think, potentially, the total bottom point that we hit in 75-76, because the budget reduction in the public libraries were given in that year was 10%. This is three times more than that. So if you look at this from the vantage point, which I think you should be looking at it, and you must look at it as members of the legislative body, if you look at it from a public policy point of view, the decision that you have to make is, do you want to go back in effect to the Stone Age with public libraries in New York City? Or do you want people to have the kinds of access that we've been able to give them as a result of that enlightened moment in 1992 when a decision was made by the city government to give us the resources, all three of us the resources, or our predecessors, to run these libraries for the people for 6 days? Now, on page four, I give you some facts and figures about what has happened at the New York Public Library in the last year, in spite of 2 years of reductions in city operating support. Last year alone, the bullets at the bottom of page four, we had 15.4 million visits to our branch libraries, 2.4 million visits to our research libraries, and 25.5 million visits to the New York Public Library's website, which is now the second most heavily used website in the world after the Library of Congress. 24.1 million items were circulated, and even more were consulted from among our collections of over 50 million items in the library's overall collections. In July of this calendar year, we experienced the highest single month attendance in our history, with 1.7 million people coming through our doors. This trend is also reflected in our circulation. In this year, circulation is up 22% compared with the same period last year. And I'm pleased to say that the New York Public Library is now the highest circulating library in America. In addition, on page five, you'll see that more than 31,000 New Yorkers attended job-related classes at the library, and more than 43,000 programs and classes were offered system-wide with an attendance of 800,000 plus. Now, if you indeed do not support our request for restorations, then I think what you're going to be seeing is really a sort of draconianly negative turn of events. If you turn to page seven of my testimony, I'll lay out as my colleague, page seven of the printed testimony. Oh, was that a different? The font is different. I'm sorry. Who told me? Page four. Let me tell you what.
I'm glad we've cleared that up because I was still looking for the earlier page that you had.
It's the first page with bullets on it. I'm sorry. If enacted, the proposed fiscal year 2012 cut would have a devastating impact on the library's ability to continue delivering essential library service as more and more people are using libraries now than ever before. To accommodate the proposed cut, we at the New York Public Library estimate a reduction of 687 positions, 615 through layoffs, including the impact of costs associated with unemployment insurance benefits, and a one-third cut to the library's book budget. The library's average hours of service would be reduced to 28, which is less than we had in 75-76, and we would have to consider the possibility of closing up to 12 libraries. Now, let's go back to that 687 position number for one moment, because there's something that's terribly important that I'd like to point out. As part of my goodbye to the library, I've been making a farewell tour of all of our 88 facilities. And oftentimes in talk, it's to say thank you to the staff and to chat with them. And so what I asked them is how long they've worked for us and how they started. And a number of people said, well, I began as a high school student, part-time employee, as a page, putting books back on shelves. So when I came back to the central office, I said, well, find out how many of our full-time employees began the career with us as pages. 761. 40% of the full-time workforce of the New York Public Library began as a high school student, putting books on shelves or doing other kinds of things for patrons. 40% of the entire workforce. Now, with scholarship support, we spend $500,000 a year on scholarship support. A lot of these people have gotten bachelor's degrees, and a lot of them have gotten master's degrees. Among the entire library system, we have 88 branches, and 24 of the branch managers began with us as pages. So a quarter of all of our branch managers began as pages, and 40% of the entire workforce began as pages. And my estimate is that 85% of those 760-some people are members of minority groups, either Latino or people of African origin. Now, if city government forces us to do layoffs with this budget, last hired, first fired applies because of the union rules, and we are going to lose some of those valuable people whom we've grown in-house as a consequence of this. That is a dreadful scenario. And I ask you, I really plead with you, not to let that happen. Don't do that to those people, and don't take away from the public the services that they and many, many others provide to them. The greatest impact of these cuts would be felt by the most vulnerable groups that are served by the library, by children, by seniors, by immigrants, by non-native speakers, and especially those living below the poverty line. Here's one more important fact. 47%, almost half, of all New Yorkers below the poverty line live in our three boroughs. So half of all the people living below the poverty line live in our three boroughs. They are a basic constituency for our library. They cannot afford to buy books. They don't have computer access at home. They can't afford to rent DVDs. And if their kids are going to read books, or if they're going to learn English, or if they're senior citizens and they want to read a newspaper with people around them, it's going to be their library as a community center for them. So they have to remain open to the, for the welfare of these people. Specific reductions include the following by way of impact. We expect that 10.2 million or 40% fewer items will be circulated, 3.1 million to teens and to children, 6.2 million or 35% fewer visits will be made to libraries, 380,000 fewer visits to library programs by young people, 1.94 million or 44 fewer computer sessions, 14,200 fewer slots in career counseling sessions and job classes, 1.4 million fewer visits, and 2.3 million fewer materials circulated in our lower Manhattan libraries, where 72% of the families earn less than $50,000 a year and 45% of residents don't have a high school diploma or a GED. Not in the Bronx, 990,000, a million fewer visitors and 1.2 fewer million items circulated. In our Central Bronx libraries, where 82% of the families earn less than $50,000 a year, and nearly 50% of the residents don't have a high school diploma or its equivalent, and only 33% of the residents are native speakers of English. And on Staten Island, 627,000 fewer visitors, 1.3 million fewer items circulated, 2,300 fewer programs, and 43,000 fewer visits by school-aged children to library programs on that island. In addition, there's the State Education Department law that mandates a maintenance of effort in terms of what we do in our libraries. If we fail to meet that standard, that would mean additional state reductions in funding. On top of that, I was in Albany lobbying members of the Senate and the Assembly on Monday. So far, the state has cut our state allocation by 20%, and there's another 10% slated in the governor's budget for libraries statewide, including our three systems, in the next fiscal year. No one in the Assembly is opposing that. No one in the Assembly is opposing that. The Senate has proposed to restore half of it. The Assembly, so far, has been totally silent. So whatever happens in the city is going to be influenced in addition by state reductions of two kinds, the maintenance of efforts and reduction in state support. So we could have a combination of 30% reduction in state support for next year and 40% for us for the three systems in state funding, which means we will lose half of our staff. If you take these cuts in addition to the 400 positions we've already eliminated in the past several years through layoffs. So really what is necessary are several things. First and foremost, I think the non-baseline funding has to be restored in the executive budget. And let's start our negotiations in terms of other reservations from that starting point. In addition to that, we're going to need the council's help more than ever. You have been the best friends that we've had in terms of beating back restorations. Last year for us, it was $28 million restored out of proposed $38 million reduction. It still left us with $10 million. But we've proven, I think, through all of the great work that we've done at the New York Public Library, that we have done more with less in a remarkable kind of way. We're serving more people with less money now than we have in the past. So please stand with us. Please stand up for us in your caucuses. Please be sure that everybody advocates strongly for libraries in their districts, because it's your constituents and our staff that are going to suffer the most. And one final word. In this week's New Yorker, which I just looked at last night, and the financial page, a powerful statement is made, and that is that economists have now calculated that the true engines of economic growth are not infrastructure. The true engines of economic growth in any advanced society are human ingenuity and productivity. And I don't think that dollar for dollar is a better investment that the public sector can make by way of public policy than investing in libraries to increase human ingenuity and productivity. Thank you very, very much.